Chapter 4 this morning, as we have been for a while here. 2 Timothy, chapter 4. Let's go there and read the passage. Then we have to finish up some stuff, and there's yet some things to unfold out of the passage. Let's begin with prayer here before we do anything else. Lord, we thank you for a chance to gather again, and another little step we've taken, Lord, is to not have to have the masks on. We're grateful for that. And we thank you for giving us the grace and patience to put up with some nonsense here this last year. And we ask that you'll continue to be with us as we have to make decisions, I'm sure, for something in the future. We'll see what the next day brings. But thank you for chance and for all we've seen you do. We pray that you'll please honor those that are away today for various reasons and just travel and vacation and stuff. But I pray that you'll bless our time here together, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so 2 Timothy 4. Now, we've read this a lot. I charge thee, therefore, before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom. So, we've been dealing for several weeks now with the fact that the Lord Jesus Christ judges. And so we were talking about several judgments. We're going to finish those judgments. But first of all, your sins were judged at Calvary if you're saved. That sets your standing. That's a done deal, right? Eternal. The next thing in this life is that you're called to judge your sins on a practical basis. That is your state. Your sins were taken care of entirely at Calvary. Your standing in Christ, your position in Christ is eternal, undefilable, uncorruptible, and all those things. But your standing down here, you may be sick today, you may be well today, you may be depressed today, you may be happy today, and that varies as time goes by. And you have to deal with those things, and you have to judge. One day the church gets out of here. It'll be soon. My arrow didn't come out very good. But we go to the judgment seat of Christ, where the body of Christ alone, I mean, that's us saved people, and those saved people in the body of Christ from the church age, from the past, that are already gone on to be with the Lord, we will all meet together after the rapture at the judgment seat of Christ up here. And there we'll be judged for the things that we've done in our body, not for salvation, but as far as reward and inheritance is concerned. We've spent 2 weeks solid on that, and hopefully you have an idea now that the inheritance that we're going to get for being Christians is in part is a set in stone inheritance. Just the fact that we're the children of God apparently guarantees us a mansion in heaven and maybe a few other things. Some of the rest of it is a reward, and you can lose your shirt on that one and not get any rewards, right? You may or may not, depending on how you've served Christ, serve with Jesus Christ during the millennium on earth. And there's indication that if you don't suffer with him, you won't reign with him. Amen? But that's the judgment seat of Christ. Now, the next one that we're going to talk about here for a second, turn, if you will, in the Word of God to Matthew chapter 25. And in Matthew 25, you learn that at the beginning of the millennium, after Jesus Christ has returned, there is a judgment that's named, and we're going to be coming back to it in a little bit because there's a little bit more that may break forth out of it. But here's what we know from Matthew 25, Matthew chapter 25, and go on down to verse 31. So at Calvary, practically in this life, the judgment seat of Christ, no lost people are there. Now, there are lost folks at this one, but notice how it says this. When the Son of Man shall come in his glory. Now, that is not any other time and can't be any other time than right here, right? Jesus Christ comes back at the second advent at Armageddon and establishes his kingdom, the throne of his kingdom, for 1,000 years. And it says there that when he comes, comes in glory and all the holy angels with him, there is no indication that angels come back with him to get us. We know it's a voice of the archangel, but there are no angels involved. There are angels involved at the second advent of Christ, right? Those angels in Matthew 13, they come back and in part help to separate the lost from the saved and all that kind of stuff. Remember that? So there are angels involved, and it says in verse 31, "Then shall he sit upon the throne of his glory." Now that's not his throne in heaven. That's his throne here on earth during the millennium. "And before him shall be gathered all nations." Now notice the nations are gathered. And it doesn't put much of an emphasis on individuals. Now there's going to be something that grows out of this in a minute, but just hang on. "Gathered unto him all nations, he shall separate them one from the other, from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats." So some nations are sheep nations, some nations are goat nations. There has to be some manner of representation here, because, you know, in the end it's going to be, I don't know exactly how it works. But verse 33, "And he shall set the sheep on his right hand, the goats on the left. Then shall the king say unto them on the right hand, Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom," inherit the kingdom. Here he is in his kingdom. He's saying, I'm going to have these nations inherit the kingdom, right? Okay, good. Met by silence, yeah. Verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye, blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, ye took me in." And from this passage, you can see how lost folks, lost religious folks, would gather that the way you become a Christian and operate as a Christian is by feeding the poor and clothing the poor, etc., etc. But notice verse 37, "Then shall the righteous answer and say, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, and or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer, say unto them," notice the capital K King, Jesus Christ, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me." Now that's about Israel. And so these nations are gathered and they're going to be judged. And again, there has to be some sort of a representative body there. I'm not sure how it all works, but plainly, you know, every person remaining in Russia doesn't just show up. There's plainly a representative thing going on. But notice, as you've done this to one of the least of these, my brethren, you've done it unto me. This judgment's going to be about these nations and how they've treated the Jew. And that's going to maybe go back through time, but certainly it's a tribulation application, okay? So that's the reason we say, among other things, that America needs to stay on the side of Israel regardless. You say, well, I don't agree with how they're handling themselves politically and how they're treating the Palestinians. Doesn't matter. You need to stay on their side. So verse 41, "Then shall he say unto them that are on the left hand," now these are goats, "Depart from me, ye accursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels." So you learn from that that hell was not prepared for sinners, it was prepared for the angels, the devil. And so if you go to hell, you're going to be in a place you don't belong. Too bad. Verse 42, "For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, and saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these," again, back from verse 39, "of these my brethren," talking about the Jews, "ye did it not unto me. These shall go away to everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal." So here you have nationally somebody that goes off into everlasting life and somebody that goes off into everlasting punishment. And it's based around how those nations treated the Jews, particularly in the tribulation, right? Because today you get saved individually by grace through faith plus nothing regardless, right? And so it has to be that. So now, again, there's going to be some more come out of that in a second. Let me just show you the fifth named judgment. Go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And I dare say, you know, this is important because most Christians don't know how to divide these things by general gist. A lot of mainstream Christianity thinks there's just one big judgment at the end of time, and that's where it's all hashed out, saved and unsaved. And if there is one big judgment, this one's the one, but that's not how it works, okay? Your sins are judged here. You go to the judgment seat of Christ as an entirely separate body from the rest of the world, if you're a Christian, right? And then at the beginning of the millennium, the nations are brought up and are judged. Again, more to come on that in a second. But the fifth is here after the great meltdown of the universe and the Lord remakes the heavens and the earth. It's called the new heavens and the new earth. It's after the millennium. And Jesus Christ then judges the dead. Now notice how this is worded, Revelation chapter 20. Revelation chapter 20. Notice we need a context here, okay? So verse 20, chapter 20, verse 1, and he laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, bound him 1,000 years. That's where we come up with 1,000-year millennium after the return of Christ. Christ reigns on this earth. It's called the throne of his glory. It's called the throne of David. It's the kingdom of heaven, okay? He will literally reign on this earth for 1,000 years. It says 1,000 years here, I think, 5 or 6 times. Verse 2, bound the devil 1,000 years, cast him into the bottomless pit, that's hell, shut him up, set a seal upon him that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years shall be fulfilled. So he's coming back after that, but again, it's 1,000 years. So 1, 2, verse 4, 1,000 years. Verse 5, 1,000 years. Verse 7, 1,000 years. So 5 times it's emphasized 1,000 years, 1,000 years, 1,000 years. And the commentators all make the 1,000-year millennium kind of an eternal thing. No, it's 1,000 years. And after the 1,000 years, the devil gets out of hell, comes back and raises up a new rebellion, and the Lord wipes them out with the spirit of his mouth in one fell swoop. Okay? Now, when that happens, go on down to verse 7. And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, shall go out to deceive the nations which are in the four quarters of the earth, Gog and Magog, to gather them together to battle, the number of whom is as the sand of the sea. And they went up on the breadth of the earth and compassed the camp of the saints about. That's Jerusalem, the beloved city, Jerusalem. And fire came down from God out of heaven and devoured them. And that's just a done deal. So verse 10, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are. So there's the satanic trinity, the devil, the beast, and the false prophet, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. Okay, that happens. Now, in conjunction with that is a great meltdown. You can read about it in 2 Peter chapter 3. I'm not going to go there this morning. And so notice what happens. The earth and the heavens that now are melt down. The Bible in 2 Peter says the elements shall melt with fervent heat. I'm sorry, you don't melt elements. A nuclear reaction is essentially the melting of elements. But you don't just start a fire and melt elements, but the Lord melts it down. It's going to be a nuclear blast. Then he's going to remake the heavens and the earth. There's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, right? Well, when that happens, it says this, and this is called the Great White Throne. This judgment is what most folks think the judgment is for people walking around today, and that's not necessarily so. It's not for you. Verse 11, and I saw a great white throne, and them that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead. Now, we're going to deal with this in a second, but notice it's the dead that rise up. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. the books were open. Now, you probably presume that means everybody that's dead presently, and that's not what it means. We'll see it in a second. I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. The books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which are written in the books according to their works. And the sea gave up the dead which was in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. So a bunch of people die and go to hell and are in hell for a long time before they ever come up to face judgment. And they're going to be judged by their works. A lot of people are in hell because they wanted to be judged by their works. So, fine, have it your way. Verse 13. And they were judged every man according to his works, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So that's the fifth judgment. Now, this opens up a little more, and this is why I said we had to take several weeks to do this. But you'll notice back in 2 Timothy chapter 4, and keep your finger in just there for a second. Notice, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge. But notice it specifies, and we need to work on this. He's going to judge the quick and the dead at his, excuse me, at his appearing and at his kingdom. He's going to judge the quick and the dead. Now, here's how I have this worked out. Most would agree there's a couple things here that get a little dicey, and you can see where this is going in a second. Okay, who are the quick that are going to be judged? Think about that. First of all, I would give you a warning. Look in Matthew 22 for just a second. If we're going to rightly divide the word of truth, then you need to figure out who the quick are. Now, quick means alive, right? Quick means you've been quickened if you were dead, and it means that somebody's alive. So, first of all, the Lord looks at this differently than man does. Of Matthew 22, verse 32, and these folks are coming to him, trying to get him to commit about, you know, they have this hypothetical of these seven brethren that, and the first one marries a woman and then he dies, and then the second marries the woman and then he dies, and the third marries the woman, et cetera, et cetera, all the way until all seven had married the same woman, because they're brethren. And in the Old Testament, you were supposed to, if your brother, your literal flesh and blood brother, had not raised up seed unto himself through his wife, then when he dies, then the brother, because the Lord's trying to build a kingdom of the 12 tribes of Israel. And he says, so go take your brother's wife to wife and raise up seed unto him so his inheritance doesn't go into nothing. And so that was the idea. Well, so there's this big hypothetical the Sadducees and Pharisees come up with. Well, what if there's seven brethren and they all marry the same woman? And, as they die sequentially, and then whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? Big question. You know, let's confuse Jesus. Well, it turns out he wasn't confused. Look down in verse 29. Notice how he answers this. Jesus answered and said unto them, ye do err. Sorry, dudes, you're wrong. Ye do err, not knowing the scriptures, nor the power of God. For in the resurrection, this tells you a little bit about the resurrection, can't go into all that this morning, but in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. Okay, so there's that. We're going to leave that sit. But verse 31, but as touching the resurrection of the dead, have you not read that which was spoken unto you by God, saying, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And then Jesus says this, God is not the God of the dead, but of the living. Now notice what he implies there. When he said that, a couple of those guys were dead. He says, I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And then Jesus said, see, God's not the God of the dead, he's the God of the living. So after Abraham died, God still considered himself the God of Abraham, because Abraham was still alive spiritually. Okay, he's still quickened. He's still alive. So we got to figure out who these quickened people are, and a couple of these are real easy. You should know. Look, if you will, let's run this down. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. First of all, there's you. Ephesians chapter 2. We can go to a bunch of places, but... And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. You have been quickened. You're going to be part of the quick and the part of the quick. You're part of the bride and the body of Christ. And so you're going to be part of the quick. You are quickened now, and you're never going to die. Your body may die, but you'll never die. Right? To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. You'll be just fine. That's why COVID is not a big threat. Right? Okay, there's this then. Let's keep tracking just a little bit here before we go and do something else. Look in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. And this is dealing with the rapture. Now, the Lord does acknowledge that somebody can be dead. A Christian can be dead bodily, but still in Christ. Dead in Christ. 1 Thessalonians chapter... It used to be in my Bible here. Yeah, here it is. The Lord himself, verse 16, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, with the trump of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, the dead in Christ are still quick. Dead in Christ are still alive, right? I mean, we shall not all sleep. We shall all be changed in the moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Why? Because you're quick. And so, when Jesus Christ comes back and takes us to the judgment seat of Christ, which we all studied for 3 weeks or 2 weeks, whatever it was, that's one of the categories of people that are quick, okay? You're going to be judged there. Now, from there, we need to look at something else, if you would. Look in Revelation chapter 20. And through some of this, there gets to be a little supposition. And so we'll see how this goes. Now, again, at the beginning of Revelation, notice what happens here. You have the old serpent, the devil, and Satan, verse 2. Jesus Christ comes back at Armageddon and binds him and throws him into a lake of fire, or into the bottomless pit for 1,000 years, verse 2. Verse 3, and cast him into the bottomless pit, shut him up, set a seal upon him, that he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years should be fulfilled. After that, he must be loosed a little season. And then he says in verse 4, I saw thrones, and they sat upon them. The judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. Now, this is during the Great Tribulation. This is referring to something that happens in the Great Tribulation. Let me take you back to Revelation chapter 6. Keep your finger in Revelation 20 for a second. Revelation chapter 6, and notice verse 9. Now it says here, and this is in the middle of the tribulation, and when he had opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and for the testimony which they held. These are folks slain during the Antichrist reign in the Great Tribulation. And they cried with a loud voice, how long, O Lord, holy and true, dost thou not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell on the earth? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest yet for a little season until their fellow servants also and their brethren that should be killed as they should be fulfilled. So he says, I can't do it yet because there's some more of you that are going to die. Again, this is during the Great Tribulation. And then it says in verse 12, and behold, when he had opened the fifth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake. But I wanted you to see verse 11, where this group of folks has been under the altar. Their souls are there. They're folks that have been killed in the Great Tribulation. You come back to Revelation 20, and notice verse 4, I saw thrones, they that sat upon them. Judgment was given unto them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus. These are those folks that had been killed in the tribulation. And for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, nor his image. I mean, that's why it has to be tribulation, right? Neither had received his mark upon their foreheads or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Then notice, but the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. So this group of folks that was killed during the Great Tribulation have been waiting for a resurrection. Christ comes back and he resurrects, the Bible says, he resurrects them. Okay, the tribulation, dead. Okay? They're considered quick as well. And they come back up and they rule and reign with Christ 1,000 years. And notice it says the rest of the dead don't rise yet. Right? And so, now that begs the question. It says that they're given thrones and crowns. And that begs the question, okay, we know that there is a judgment here, the judgment of the nations. And this is not them. But it leads me to think and wonder, there's no judgment that's specified for these, yet they still receive their throne. And it's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. And so what I've talked with David about this, a couple others, and Brother Walker and a few others, and there seems to be an implication that I don't know if it's part of this judgment or something else separately. When Christ comes back and sits down on his throne, there's got to be, there doesn't have to be, but it doesn't make much sense that these folks that rise would then wait till all the way over here to be judged, right? Because after all, they get their thrones, they get their crowns. It implies that there may be another thing, maybe it's in conjunction with the judgment of nations, I'm not sure, where Christ sits down on his throne and maybe judges the tribulation dead so that they can then receive their thrones and crowns and then rule through the millennium. Again, it's not something that's stated specifically, but it's kind of hinted at, and I want to show you a couple other things that's hinted at along those lines, if you wouldn't mind. Notice, if you will, John chapter 5. John chapter 5. And this is another verse that if you don't rightly divide the Word of God, then you wind up with a bunch of people thinking that, there's this general judgment by which God, the Lord, hands out salvation or damnation at the end of time, and that's a done deal. It's not like that. But in John chapter 5, go down to verse 28. Notice he says, marvel not at this, for the hour is coming in the which all that are in the grave shall hear his voice, and all come forth, they that have done good unto the resurrection of life, they that have done evil unto the resurrection of damnation. Now, we don't do anything to get saved, right? But somebody is, and I don't know that this specifies the tribulation dead. I just wanted to show you another verse in Revelation that needs to be brought in here. Revelation chapter 11. Revelation chapter 11. And all I'm trying to do is distinguish who the quick are that he judges and who the dead are that he judges. He shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and at his kingdom, right? So the quick for sure are the body of Christ, that's us, judgment seat of Christ. We know the tribulation dead get judged. There's this, Revelation chapter 11. And this revolves around, this is a chapter where Moses and Elijah, the two witnesses, come back and prophesy during the Great Tribulation, right? And then they're killed and got their heads cut off and they lay in the streets for 3 days and 3 nights, and the Holy Spirit comes in and resurrects them and says, come up hither. And there, this is apparently a mid-tribulation resurrection taking some saints out in the mid-tribulation and a rapture because these two guys get raptured. Now, what I wanted you to see here, notice verse 17. Well, let's look at verse 16. And the 24 elders which sat before God on their seats fell upon their faces and worshiped God, saying, We give thee thanks, O Lord God Almighty, which art and wast and art to come, because thou hast taken to thee thy great power and hast reigned. You'll notice in verse 15 that the reason they say that is because the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever, right? So that occurrence happens here too, because this is where the Lord comes back and the kingdoms of this world become his, right? Then notice verse 18. And the nations were angry, and thy wrath has come, and the time of the dead, that they should be judged, that thou shouldst give reward, notice, unto thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints, and them that fear thy name, small and great, and shouldst destroy them which destroy the earth. What named servants, thy servants, the prophets, and to the saints. Now, there's lots of categories of saints. We're one. We don't get judged at this one. But there's a category of saints that get judged. It makes me wonder this. These are saints too, right? And now you have the Lord saying that he's going to resurrect some of his servants, the prophets. Well, his servants, the prophets, are of what nationality? Israel. You say, well, we have gifts of prophecy ourselves. Yeah, we're the body of Christ, and we don't prophesy like those guys did. Apparently, the Lord resurrects his servants, the prophets, and some saints from the Old Testament, along with the tribulation dead, and it says it's time to judge them. Well, are we really going to wait all the way till over here to judge them? Or the setting is when the Lord comes back and takes the kingdoms. So again, it's a judgment that's not specified if it's a judgment. This is the judgment of nations, and I don't know if it happens at the same time or if it's something separate that's just not mentioned. Brother Walker and I were talking about it the other day, because if I have questions, I'll run it past him and Brother Nolan and a couple others. I said, I can't find a proof text for, you know, there being a judgment besides the judgment of nations, you know, at this point. He said, well, he said, maybe 2 Timothy 4:1 is your proof text that he will judge the quick and the dead at his coming and at his kingdom. So I don't know. Am I confusing anybody? You know what I'm saying? Jim, real quick. It would have to be representative. You have to bring representatives forward, so many people that receive the judgment upon the nation, and the nation either goes to heaven or hell. Sir? Oh, that we're talking about a tribulation. We're talking about after the tribulation here. We're not talking about Christians. We're talking about how the nations of the earth, who are viewed differently by the Lord, the nations of the earth are judged as nations on how they've treated the Jews. So, you know, Iran's not going to fare well. You know what I'm saying? And that's the idea. See, America, well, so far America would have fared fairly well. And what the final judgment is, I don't know, but it has to be representative somehow. Yeah.
A special judgment, right, for all the kings and, right, senators and bad presidents like, right, Obama and some of Clinton. These people, you know, stand at their own judgment.
Right, individuals, yes. Yeah. Well, every individual does come up over here, right?
Well, no, I'm talking about,
I know. I know, but every individual person on the face of the earth eventually comes up here, yeah, that's dead in sins and is judged. So,
I'm talking about presidents.
I know.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
They get a special judgment. Maybe that's what you're talking about.
Well, again, what I'm getting at here now, we're going to go past the judgment of the nations, because I'm pointing out some things here. This is judged here, but these have, you know, some guys have never distinguished where those guys get judged, and it's kind of weird to think of them getting rewarded and serving through the millennium and then coming up for judgment over here. There has to be a way for the Lord to give them their rewards for dying in the tribulation and then giving them their thrones, assigning them their thrones here to reign with him. There has to be some sort of reconciliation, some sort of answerability somewhere besides the judgment of nations, unless it springs out of that. That's what I'm saying. That's all I'm saying. And then, again, there are some saints that rise and servants the prophets, Jewish prophets, apparently from the Old Testament, that come up and are judged. And so, again, there you have another, you know, servants, the prophets. Here you have another group. They're quick. They're alive. They're resurrected. Okay? And so where are they judged? Do they wait till all the way over here? No, I think it's here somewhere. It may not be the same judgment, but there almost has to be. I got another one for you, if you would. And it kind of is connected with that. Look, if you will, in Ezekiel 37, there's another group of people. All I'm trying to do is define who the quick are that are judged. I know who the dead are. We'll get to them later. But those are the folks that show up to the great white throne judgment, never receive Christ. They're judged by their works, and most all of them die and are pitched off into a lake of fire. Right? Right? But, you know, again, here is Ezekiel 37. Ezekiel 37. There's another group that comes up alive at the coming of Christ. Notice Ezekiel 37. This is the valley of dry bones in 37:1, the valley which was full of bones. And verse 4, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. And thus saith the Lord, verse 5, says the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. It goes on down through here, and I mean, the sinews come upon the bones. And then notice verse 11. Then he said unto me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. So there's going to be a resurrection of the nation of Israel, which includes a resurrection of people in Israel. And again, this happens, you know, somewhere at the beginning of the millennium. And so the question is, if those guys come up, are they going to be judged? After all, I'll just say this. After all, in the same chapter and then back in Ezekiel 34, the Bible says that David reigns in Israel again. So David's going to be resurrected. And obviously Abraham's going to be resurrected, right? And so, where are those guys going to be judged? Look at one more passage here and see if we can kind of put this together. Look in Daniel 12. Daniel 12. I'm saying that there will be a resurrection at least of some of Israel. People in Israel and Israel as a nation, and they're considered alive because the bones come together, sinews come upon the bones, and then there's breath that comes in the sinews, and she's a living nation again. Notice this, Daniel chapter 12, and notice the wording here. And at that time, verse 1, shall Michael the archangel stand up, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. Michael is particularly the archangel that the word is not rule, but stands over the nation of Israel. Okay? There's also an angel that's not named that stands for the nation of Persia. That's why I said what I said the other night on Wednesday, where there are principalities and powers that have some sort of regional control over peoples of the earth. And Michael, particularly, is Israel's prince, Israel's archangel. Verse 1, the great prince which standeth for the children of thy people. There shall be a time of trouble which such as never was since that was a nation, even to that same time. And at that time, thy people shall be delivered. Now, this time of trouble is what? It's the great tribulation for Israel, the time of Jacob's trouble. Okay, well, at that time, thy people shall be delivered, everyone that shall be found written in the book. And many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life and some to shame and everlasting contempt. So there's going to be a resurrection of Israel, and some of them rise and are judged. Verse 3, and they that shall be wise shall shine as the brightness of the firmament, and they that turn many your righteousness as the stars forever and ever. But thou, O Daniel, shut up the word and seal the book. So from there it closes down. You don't know what happens from there. But just from the context, the indication is that it's talking about something that happens in this time frame. Well, if that's the case, then there's a bunch in Israel that are quick. So he's going to judge the quick and the dead, us here. But these groups, unless they wait till all the way over here, almost have to be judged here. Because after all, they're going to rule and reign in the millennium. And that judgment is not named in the scriptures other than the judgment of nations. I think it's separate from that. But it makes sense that when the king would come back and establish his throne and his rulership for 1,000 years, there would be some sort of reckoning, right? I mean, for those that have been resurrected, for those that have been raised, that there'd be some sort of reckoning so they could receive their rewards, their thrones, their responsibilities, and so on and so forth. We get ours up here, but somebody must get it here as well. So that one's not named if there is one. I'm saying it. This is a judgment that's not named. It's suggested. And Doc had 5 judgments and never specified that one. But the more I think about it and the more I talk about it, the more I'm thinking that there has to be something that happens there at the beginning of the millennium. Okay? Now, the dead, we know who those are. If we're going to talk about this one, he's going to judge the quick when? At his appearing and at his kingdom. Okay? Part of our thing, Christ appears to us here, takes us and judges us. So the quick and the dead are judged at his appearing and at his kingdom. So we have one left to be noted here. Notice again Revelation 20 and verse 12. Revelation 20, 12. I hope I'm not confusing anybody more than you already were confused. I've been confused myself a little bit through this because I kept wrestling with how to teach it. But verse 12, the great white throne judgment, verse 11 rather, I saw a great white throne, 2011, him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and heaven fled away. There was found no place for him, so there's no earth and there's no heaven. At this resurrection, everybody's standing there on nothing. Standing there before God, and the heavens and the earth are gone. They're standing on nothing. Slightly helpless. Verse 12, and I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. Books were opened, another book was opened, which is the book of life. The dead which were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So there's going to be a group of people that come up and they're judged according to their works. Now look, before I came to this part, I was saying and thinking, and I think others think this way, and maybe I still should, okay, Abraham hasn't faced judgment yet. David hasn't faced judgment yet. Moses hasn't faced judgment yet. So unless this happens here, then there would have to be some way, there would be some people that were saved at the great white throne judgment, because that would be where Abraham and David and Moses came up, right? Now, if this is true here, what I just outlined, and this happens here, then I don't know that anybody has to be saved at all at the Great White Throne Judgment, because it could be all lost people that came up there. Brother Steve? Yeah. 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 The question would be, again, the question I'm asking is, when was Abraham judged? You know, that's why I'm kind of saying that kind of flows with what I'm saying here, is that if they're going to come up, you know, it's appointed unto men once to die, after this the judgment. Presumably before you rule, there needs to be some sort of judgment to, you know, give you your rewards, your crowns, et cetera, et cetera. And so I'm suggesting that the Bible suggests, it doesn't say, there's something else that happens here, maybe in conjunction with the judgment of nations, where these folks that are going to be here during the great, during the millennium, have a judgment. And so therefore they wouldn't have to stand at the Great White Throne Judgment, and the Great White Throne Judgment would just be, like some folks have taught, a place where lost people come hopeless and are cast into the lake of fire. Now, you would have to come up with the group that could still be saved that we've not taken into account here, that would show up at the Great White Throne Judgment and would, you know, maybe somebody dead in the Old Testament doesn't come up till then. Some of them. Bryce?
The Great White Throne Judgment, it stated that whoever so was not found written in the Book of Life is cast into the lake of fire. The implication being that at the Great White Throne Judgment, there will be some that will be found written in the Book of Life.
You,
so
you could read that in. You could also read it in that, yeah, nobody's going to be in the Book of Life at the Great White Throne Judgment.
Well, why would they say it then? I mean,
because he's letting you know that if they're not found in the Book of Life, they're not going to be, they're not going to be in get saved.
Yeah, but I mean, if,
no, I know what you're saying. I know what you're saying. But that doesn't prove whether anybody is saved, whether there's anybody saved at the Great White Throne Judgment. Who? Okay. Who comes up at the Great White Throne Judgment that gets saved? That their works.
The dead, whoever they are.
Right. Well, okay, so we've taken account of the tribulation dead. We've taken account of his servants, the prophets, Jews, and some more of the rest of Israel from the Old Testament. You're right. There may be some other folks that are not in this category that come up, and I'm happy to exceed that. Yeah, somebody dies in the millennium, don't they? That's right. There'll be people that die in the millennium, right?
They're dying in the body of Christ.
Right, right. But again, we're beyond the body of Christ, because the body of Christ is settled here. So everything that I'm talking about here, none, you know, other than this, nobody else is in the body of Christ. Nobody else is at this judgment. All these folks, and then Brother Steve reminded me, that's right, because like I said, this gets expansive. Who are you leaving out and who are you including, right? There are people that die in the millennium. So the likelihood is there will be somebody saved that dies and then comes back. Right. Yes. Yeah. Well, and very little faith, frankly, because you're seeing Jesus Christ, you know, reign before you. So we're good. Any other questions? That I can answer? Don't ask me anymore that I can't answer, please. All right, well, but you see what we've done here. Okay, judgment. So there's five or more. And then you have the quick and you have the dead, and we've spent all morning on that. Any questions? Brother, yes, sir.
You mentioned that Ruckman didn't mention number four.
No, no. Dr. Ruckman didn't mention one here that was not the judgment of nations. He says there's five, as I put up there, including the judgment of nations. He doesn't. No, judgments are five. Yeah, he says five judgments. Four gospels, five judgments. Everything else was seven, right? And that bothers me too, because seven is the number of completion, right? And I've always thought, looked at five named known judgments and gone, there ought to be two more. But maybe there is. Maybe there's this one. And remember, the Bible says that we will judge, that the saints will judge angels. So maybe that's seven. But I ain't teaching that dogmatically. So don't do that to me. Yes, sir. Yeah. Yes, sir. The bride of Christ reigns because we'll rule and reign with him if we suffer with him, right? There's also, don't forget, the 12 apostles. There had to be 12 apostles to sit on 12 thrones to rule during the millennium. That's why they had to replace Judas, right? That's from Matthew 19. And then these guys are going to get up and reign. That's stated in Revelation 20. Presumably, these guys reign. And of course, Israel is in the millennium with the Lord. So, anything else? Yes, sir, brother? Yeah.
So, the man child that you had mentioned before.
Yes.
The man child was caught up in God.
Yep. I've always viewed that Revelation 12 thing with the man-child, because the man-child in Isaiah 66 is defined as a nation being born in one day. But plainly, you can see Jesus Christ in it. So I think Jesus Christ is ruling over the nations with a rod of iron, but he's ruling over Israel, who, you know, in her own right is then the chief of nations. So she in her own right is over them with a rod of iron too. I kind of see those two together. Because he was caught up to heaven, and so will Israel be. it gets kind of wild. Anyway, anything else? Good, I'm bailing out while we can. We'll take a break before church.